Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 to 5.
For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?
Okay, we've been talking about this for like the last five Sundays, I believe, that faith is what helps us to what? Overcome the world. We've been talking about that. And I've been giving you a whole host of things that are in the world that we need to overcome. I told you that as Christians, we need to overcome the world. We need to overcome sin in our lives. We need to overcome boredom. We need to overcome hopelessness. We need to overcome depression, anxiety. We need to overcome so many things, discontentment, not being happy with what we have, not being happy with who we are, and not being happy in whose we are. We overcome these things. And I have been saying to you over the last month or so that unfortunately, I know that there are many Christians that deal and battle with those things. We battle with anxiety. We battle with hopelessness. We battle with boredom. We battle with discontentment. We battle these things. But for Christians, that ought not to be so. We certainly know that we are in the world where these things are, but we are to be what? Above it. We're supposed to rise above it. Everyone should know that passage of Scripture. I'm in the world, but I am not what? Of it. Did you know that Christian counselors are very busy nowadays? Counseling people for those areas. And I want to ask you a question. When you go, anybody ever gone to a Christian counselor like me? Ever go to one? Do you know what resource we use? Who knows what resources we use? When you call me on the phone and you say to me, "Hey, Pastor Tom, I really need to talk to you." Guess what resource we use? The Bible. Who has a Bible? So, well, guess what? I can save you a lot of time. I mean, I really can. I can save you a lot of time by referring you back to what? The Bible. Fascinating truth is when I counsel people, guess what they don't bring with them? The Bible. Isn't that kind of strange, huh? They don't bring the blueprint. They don't bring the book. Is the U.S. still in the soccer match? Anybody know if the U.S. is still in this? How many say no? Who they lose to? See, we know more about that than we wrote the Bible. Ain't that sad? I mean, isn't that sad? I mean, I could throw out a Bible question. You won't know, but you know that they lost to Belgium. Ain't that crazy? Hey, the Pens have a new GM. What's the guy's name? Good thing you said that. But you probably do know. And so, people know more about worldly things than they know about God things. How many say that's true? Guys, I'm not going to do this to you, but if I gave you a written test and I gave you a list of questions, worldly things and godly things, I would bet most of you would know a lot more worldly things than biblical things. And even if you got some biblical things, probably 50-50.
Tom,
yes, ma'am.
Maybe all the Christians should get together and buy some commercials for on TV.
Mary says we should buy some TV ads and let people know this. Well, I think every church has been trying to tell them. Haven't we? Probably for a couple hundred years at least, maybe thousands of years, date back to Jesus Christ. They've been telling you about these things. As a matter of fact, this Bible wasn't copyrighted last year. It was copyrighted a long time ago. Been around a long time. But we just don't spend time in it. I'm just being square. I'm being honest. I'm being sincere. How many people do you have in your Sunday school class? Five? Five or six? Should be 20. Should be 30. Should be 40. Unless you all got it together. Who's got it all together in this room? Just for affirmation, turn to somebody. Believe me, you ain't got it all together. Just affirmation. Oh, Nick. And I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I don't want to do that. And if I am making you feel guilty, I just want you to know sincerely from the bottom of my heart, I don't care. I really don't care. How many people are at your house on a Wednesday when you have it? Maybe 12 or so?
12, 15.
Yeah. Well, I have 50. Learning more about God's Word, right? And so I told you that faith overcomes the world. Of what? Loneliness. I feel so lonely. I am so bored. I'm not content with anything in my life. Call me on the phone. I'll meet you Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. Bring your Bible. We're going to spend some time in it. Or spend some time in the Bible. Well, today we're going to talk about another part of what faith helps you to overcome. It's fear. I'm afraid. I'm fearful. I just am afraid of so many things. Anybody have a problem with fear sometimes? Just afraid of? Thank you for being honest with me. Fear, I'm afraid. And sometimes I'm afraid of things I don't know I'm afraid of. Fear. And so we're going to talk today about overcoming fear. So turn to John 16, 32 to 33.
Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
I wonder how many of us ever feel alone. How many ever feel like you're all by yourself? Like the world has abandoned you. Your friends and your family and maybe your church. You feel like you're all by yourself. Even Jesus Christ said, indeed the time is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each into his own, and will leave me what? Alone. Leave me alone. But you know, for Christians, you're never by yourself. You're never by yourself. Because Jesus Christ clearly said, in the next passage of Scripture, we're going to read to that in a minute. I'm pretty sure I have it here somewhere. It says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the ends of the age. Are you ever alone? Really? Are you ever really, truly by yourself? How many ever feel like Jesus has abandoned you? Do you ever feel that way? Jesus has abandoned you in all your trials and tribulations. You go, wait a second. You said you'll never leave me. Where are you? Well, listen, Jesus is not a liar. Jesus said, I'm not going anywhere. And so if you don't feel close to him, guess who went?
You did.
He didn't. You did. Your mind is off of Christ and on worldly things. And worldly things will make you afraid. How many know there's a lot of things to be afraid out there? I was counseling an individual on Wednesday. This person's recently diagnosed with MS. No, I wouldn't want to be diagnosed with MS, but this person was diagnosed with MS. And that really wasn't the issue why she wanted to talk to me. Why she wanted to talk to me was that she had received some medication that they prescribed for her. The medication was quite expensive, but they went through the insurance issues, and praise the Lord that the insurance company decided to pay for this medication. So praise God, wasn't afraid of that. The fear was because the medication, the doctor said, might make you sick. Might make you sick. Everybody hear the optimum word there?
Yeah, might.
Might make you sick. Hadn't taken it yet. Hadn't even got it prescribed in her hand yet. Hadn't picked it up yet. But yet spent about 45 minutes with me being afraid of what might be. So I asked her, did the doctor say how many people get sick? She said, well, not very many, about 10%. So you're in the 10%. You know that, right? Well, no, I don't know that. How many worry about things that never happen? How many are afraid of the whatevers in life? How many are afraid of whatevers? What might be's? Well, guess what? You're always going to have what might be's. You can't change that. How many know when you get on... Oh, wait. Anybody traveling near future, like on a plane? Before, oh, Mike. Oh, sorry, Mike. Mike, do this. Na 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 na. Mike, do na 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 na. How many know every time you get on a plane, you're taking a risk? Right? And people often say to me, yeah, but you know what? If it's your day, it's your day. I'm not worried about that. What if it's a pilot's day? I mean, I'm just saying. I'm along for the ride, you know. Don't worry about it, Mike. It probably won't happen. No. It's true. We are afraid of the what ifs. Let's go to Matthew 10:28.
And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
Mm. You know, there are so many people that are so afraid of everybody. Now, we live in some scary times, that's true. Pastor Ed, before he was Pastor Ed, he was Officer Rogers. There's some scary people out there. There's some scary people. There are. But this passage of Scripture says, why are you more afraid about the scary people when you ought to be afraid about a holy God? I mean, what can scary people do to you anyhow? What's the ultimate reality of what they... What can the worst possible thing a scary person can do to you? Kill you. Well, you're dying anyhow. It's true. How many know you're all terminal anyhow? And so we need to be more afraid of not them. We need to be more afraid of him because he can send your soul to hell. Now, how many know that's a long time, eternity, Pastor Carl? That's a long time. But see, we don't fear him. So there's a fear that's healthy. If you're going to have fear, fear who? Him. And I do. I do. You would think maybe of all the least people in this room that would fear God would be me, but I probably have the most fear than all of you have. I'm so afraid of him that he would call me on the phone and send me someplace and I don't go. Or somebody calls me on the phone and says, hey, Pastor Tom, can you do this for me? And I say no. You know how much concern I have for that? I have great concern for that. Great concern. Anybody concerned what God's thinking about you? The things that we do in secret that we don't think anybody knows? Don't you think he knows? Wouldn't it be just like God for you to be called home at the wrong time? I mean, is anybody concerned that Jesus comes back and you're doing something you shouldn't be doing? There he is. Oh, Jesus, can you come tomorrow? Don't come today. Can you call and give me a heads up when you're coming so I can clear the table or whatever I was reading or hit delete? Already seen it. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2 verse 12.
Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation and with fear and trembling.
Wow. You know, when I go to lunch with somebody, man, they're on their best behavior. It's kind of fascinating, really. When I'm sitting across the table, with somebody at TGI Friday or something. Oh, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Oh, I'm sorry I said that, Pastor. It's kind of crazy. Jimmy, everybody's on their best behavior when I'm there. I sat at a table at a wedding. Sissy and I sat at a table at a wedding because I did the wedding. And I went over and I sat down next to people, and this lady turned to her and said, you better be careful. He's here with you. Watch your mouth. Padre's here. Really? Really? I mean, you need to be one way in my presence, but you're somebody different when I'm not there? Really? Well, guess what? He's there 24-7. 24-7. He's there. Craziness. Craziness. And the Apostle Paul is saying, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, how you act when the pastor's there should be the way you act when he is there. Is that not true? How many people who call me on the phone and say, Pastor Tom, can you stop by? Sure, I'm coming now. Oh, no, not now. Can you give me a day's notice? Well, what do you need a day for? I can come now. Do you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? Fear and trembling. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. I wonder how many of us have a dual life. I'm just saying. I wonder how many of us are more concerned about the senior pastor than you are about a holy God. I'm worried about a holy God. Truly, 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 I am. In this church, I have a board of elders over me. Would the board of elders raise your hand if you're here? I have these guys over me. And you know what I really will say to them? I don't care. I don't have to worry about them. I got to worry about him. If I live a life that pleases him, they are a piece of cake. How many understand that? They can only affirm what I do. He judges what I do. How many understand that? Fear and trembling. Okay, let's turn to Proverbs 1:7. And what will fear of our Almighty God help us do? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Oh, praise God for that. Let me sit down and take my load off. How many people come to me for counseling? They don't want counsel. They want affirmed. They want me to agree with them. They don't want counsel. They want what? Affirmed. Yeah. They want me to tell them that everything that they said is right. Well, it's not right. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. When somebody says to me, I don't know what's expected of me, guess what they're not reading? It's simple, Scott. When you come to me, I go to that and I show you what you could have read on the way over in the car. Help me understand that. Do you have the fear of the Lord, the beginning of all knowledge? Let's turn to Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Fear of the Lord, you hate those things. If you hate those things, guess what? You won't be doing it. Because you are fearful of the Lord. You know, a kid won't disobey his mama if his mama's sitting there. Where's my principal? My school principal. There she is. I won't cheat on an exam if she's sitting right by me. Would you? Would you whisper over to your friend, hey, what's the answer to number 23? When she's like right here, chances are pretty good. I'm not going to do it when she's right there. Some of you probably would, but hopefully you wouldn't. How many know with the principal right there, you're not going to be doing those things you used to do, right? How many say amen to that? How many know how to write the answers on the palm of your hand? How many know how to do it? Anybody know how to do that? Jimmy Fong, raise your hand. I know you did it. But you would never do that when the principal's there. How many understand that? But guess what? The principal is always there. Always there. But see, you fear more the principal than you fear the principal. Turn to Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongs our days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. You fear the Lord, you have a nice, happy life. Don't fear the Lord, your days will be what? Turn to Proverbs 22:4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Is there healthy fear? Sure. What's a healthy fear? Fear him. Fear him. You fear him, chances are pretty good. You'll do that which is correct and which is prosperous. Turn to Matthew chapter 8, 23 to 27.
Now, when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him?
Where was Jesus Christ at in that disciple in that narrative? Where was he? In the boat. Like right there. We're not talking in a figurative sense, right, Jimmy? Jesus was what? Right there. And yet they were afraid of their lives. True? They were so fearful. And he's right there. Let's talk a little bit about things that people fear. Of them, if I told you this, don't belt it out. The number one thing people that are most afraid of. In fact, it says in the statistics, 60% of people have this fear. 60%. What is it? Public speaking. I'm going to call one now to come speak. I'm just debating on which one. I wonder how many have fear even right now as I'm walking. I wonder how many people's stomachs are like, Hi, how are you? I'm well. How you doing? Oh, you definitely one of them? Come here. Definitely. What do you want to talk about?
I don't know.
You don't know? You have some fear?
Yeah.
Do you? It's like...
Yeah.
Well, how would it feel if I let you off the hook?
Feel good.
Go ahead. Go sit down. 60%! 60%! How many of you talk at least once or twice a day? Okay, someone does. Turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you. You talk at least. So I'm asking you to come up here, right? How many can stand on their own 2 feet? Stand and open up your mouth and make sounds that make sense. It's called talking. So you come up, you stand, and you talk. How many could do that? You know you could do that, but yet you come up here and stand in front of all of you guys. Woo! 60%. What do you think the next one is? Here you are. Ready? Here's the order. I'll tell them to you quick. Heights, insects and bugs, financial problems, deep water, disease, death, flying, loneliness, dogs, driving while riding in a car, or dark places. That's the list. Oswald Chambers. You ever heard that guy? Oswald Chambers said, the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else and nobody else. Whereas, if you do not fear God, you fear everything in the world. That's worth repeating, huh? The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing or nobody else. Whereas, if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. Meister Eckhart said, the right fear to have is the fear of losing God. A German proverb, fear makes the wolf bigger than he really is. Unknown, fear makes man believe the worst possible outcomes. Spanish proverb, he who fears death cannot enjoy life. Horace, 65 BC, who lives in fear will never be a free man. E. Stanley Harvard, fear is the sand in the machinery of life. Is your life all messed up because you fear everything? You fear everything? I wonder, what is the center of your life? Does it evolve around fear? And if it's fear, what are you afraid of? If you're going to be afraid of somebody, who ought you be afraid of? Turn to Matthew 14, 25 to 33.
Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, Come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and began to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, Truly, you are the Son of God.
You know, there aren't many water walkers in the churches anymore. There aren't many people sit in the boat and clutch it and hold on to the sides, don't rock my boat. And when somebody gets up and starts walking on water, everybody in the boat says, sit down, what are you doing, you crazy? You're making my boat what? A little rocky. I don't like that. I like comfort. I like things the way they are. I don't like to take risks. I like everything to be just perfect. And then when somebody gets up, the boat starts rocking, what do people say? Sit down. Don't rock the boat. That's what people say. You know what? You know what the secret to walking on water is? There's a secret to it. Two parts. The secret to walking on water is you got to get up and step out. And the second part is you got to have faith. Not a lot of people walk on water. Most people like staying where? In the boat. You see, when Peter took out of the boat and stepped out and walking on water, he wasn't afraid. Why wasn't he afraid? His eyes were on the Lord. And the minute he became afraid, what happened? He sunk. And fear will sink you every single time. Fear is simply unbelief masquerading itself as fear. What can you do with Jesus in your life? All things. And what's the distance that makes that possible? 12 inches. Here to here. What I know to what I believe. What I know to what I believe. We looked at a new building, a new location. Some people will ask me the million-dollar question, well, where is it? And how long, what, does it take me to get there? And I would respond, well, it's in the world. And we are to go where? In all corners of it. But yet, there will be some anxiety, won't there? Turn your Bibles, please, to Matthew 28:20.
Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Amen. How many know that passage of Scripture? How many know that? How many's heard that before? Now, how many believe it? Okay. How many loved going to the dentist? How many on your bucket list is like a root canal? Chrissy's going to get a root canal? Oh, cool.
I've had six.
Six? I'm not making fun of the dentist. But I mean, really, dudes? Dentist? I mean, we need to get all drugged up to go to the dentist? Well, see, when you get to watch me, I watch everybody else, right? I see some people going like this. Nick. I am with you always. Even to the end of the age. Okay, now how many of you just said, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me? How many believe that? I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Okay, we got about 6-7 people. That's cool. Hey, that's cool. Now, you know, if you really believe it, stand up so I can. And don't stand up if you don't believe it, because you're lying. I'll sit right on your lap. You'll be embarrassed. Okay, cool. Okay, now sit back down. Now, let's work this out logically. 101, logic, 101, logic, 101. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And he's not leaving me. He's going to be with me forever. So how often can I do all things? All the time. All the time. And all the time means what, Sarah? All the time. And that means whenever my circumstances are, whatever they are, and whenever they are, I can do them. Why? Because he's with me. It's simple. And when you say to me, but I can't do that, you don't have it 12 inches. You only got it where? Here. You only got it here. You got to move it, Scott, from here to here. Now, how will you know that you can do all things? Logic 101. How will you know that you can do all things? By what? By doing it. No, that's head knowledge. I can do all things because Jesus said I can. Well, how will you know it if you don't what? Do it. It's simple. But I'm afraid to do it. Oh. Go back to 101 logic. Well, then therefore your faith is not moved 12 inches. Right? You haven't moved it. You know it. But you haven't lived it. Joshua 1:9.
Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
That's Joshua. Be strong. Be of good courage. What we need is more courageous Christians. That's what we need. We don't need more religious people. We don't. We don't need more people that are steeped in religiosity with all the roles and all of the hierarchy. We don't need that. You know what we need? More courageous Christians. That's what we need. We need men and women to stand up and be counted for Jesus Christ. That's what we need. Help me understand that. That's what we need. We don't need more denominationalism. We don't need more religiosity. What we need is men and women to stand up and be counted for the Lord and say, this is where I stand and I'm not moving. I am not moving. Somebody the other day said to me, because they know we're looking for a church building. And the person said to me, you don't know the person, said to me, well, can't you align yourself with a denomination that can help you buy a church? Good question. Everybody understand the question? Pastor Tommy, certainly there's a denomination that you can align yourself with that can help you guys build a church. And I said, yeah, we could. I'd rather be in a tent. I don't need to be told what we believe. I already know it. I'd rather be in a tent. How many agree with that? I'll stay here forever. I will not go to some place and tell us what we believe. God's word, 66 books, already told me that. Be of good cheer. Be strong. Good courage. Be not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. Look at those. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. That's our job. That's our job. People oftentimes will say to me, well, Pastor Tom, I have nothing to do. Well, do that. How many understand that? Well, do that. Wherever you go Monday morning, be that. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. Be strong. Don't think the world is hopeless. I was at one of the places I went to last week. I only say this to make an example, not for grandiose remarks. A person said to me, you know, Pastor Tom, when you're here, the place is different. I said, praise God, thank you. That's the best compliment I've received in a long time. When you're here, the place is different. Well, everywhere that you go, the place should be what? Different. You should be different. You know what many Christians are? You walk into a crowded room and you're changed by the room. That's the way it is. You walk into a new place, there's a bunch of people there, and you're sitting down next to somebody, and somebody says, you know, the food's here really horrible. No, I didn't know that, but thanks for letting me know. I guess it's horrible. You know what? Most people will be changed by the room. Not many people can change the room. How many want to change the room? I'm changing rooms. And my daughter, Sean's raising her hand, too. We're changing rooms. You don't want to have a nice, you know, you don't want to make, don't invite me to your house. Don't invite me to your party. Sissy and I try to live by this. Wherever we go, guess what, Pastor Colin? That's where the party's at. We don't have time for feeling sorry for ourselves and pity parties. Who knows how to throw a pity party in this room? Shawnee, you can't raise your hand for that, too. How many know how to throw pity parties? Pity parties. Who has self-addressed envelopes to yourselves? Herm. Rip them up. Hebrews 13:5-6.
Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?
Does it get any better than that? Boldly say, not with timidity, boldly say, the Lord is my helper. How many believe the Lord is your helper? You don't say, some people say it to me in a question, the Lord's my helper? What? The Lord's my helper? What? The Lord is my helper, and therefore I can do what? All things. Through who? Jesus Christ, who strengthens me. Be courageous. You want to set the world on fire? Be courageous. Don't be religious. John Wesley. You heard that guy? John Wesley, the founder of the United Methodist Church. And I'll stop with this. John Wesley, the founder of the United Methodist Church, was evangelizing the New World, 13 colonies at the time. And there wasn't enough pastors to go around. He was really distraught. Him and his brother Charles Wesley, they were distraught about that. They went back to England, and he was dismayed. Talk about dismayed. He was dismayed. I don't have enough pastors. There's not enough pastors. How can I evangelize the whole new world? There's not enough pastors. And Susanna Wesley, his mother, devout Christian, said, well, pray about it. The Lord will give you the answer. Pray about it. And that night, John was in bed praying to the Lord, got up, bounded downstairs the next day for breakfast. His mother, Susanna Wesley, said to John Wesley, did you get the answer that you need? John Wesley said, I got the answer, Ma. I got the answer. And Susanna said to John, well, why this energy? What's going on? And this is exactly what John Wesley said. You give me 100 men or women who love the Lord and hate sin, and I will rattle the gates of hell. That's what he said. And I don't care whether they're clergy or not. But let that sink into you. That's the founder of the United Methodist Church said, you give me 100 men or women who love God and hate sin. How many love God and hate sin in this room? 100 men and women who love God and hate sin. And I don't care whether they are pastors, elders, deacons. I could care less. And guess what we can do? Rattle the gates of hell. That's what we'll do. We'll rattle the gates of hell. Who want to rattle some gates? I want to rattle some gates. I'm tired of him rattling my gates. It's about time he gets one coming too. How many say amen to that? Anybody tired of Satan beating you up yet? Anybody tired of Satan making you cower in the corner of your room because you are so deathly afraid? Anybody tired of that yet? Anybody tired of Satan kicking your kids all down the street? Anybody tired of that? Well, stand up, be courageous, be of good cheer, be not afraid of anything, and rattle some gates back. That's what you need to say. Now, that sounds like a real good cheerleading thing, ain't it? In fact, a lot of Christians I know are great cheerleaders. We're like some of the best cheerleaders in the whole world. We go from the bleachers when somebody else is suffering. Come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. And then you get a tap on your shoulder. Pardon me, I'm in the game. Oh, no, I'm a cheerleader. I signed up to be a cheerleader. What do you mean? It's my turn. Oh, no. I didn't sign up for a turn. I signed up to be a what? A cheerleader. But then guess what happens, Nick? Your turn, you're in. Now somebody in your life is on his deathbed. Now you lost your job. Now your relationship is going south. Now you got the diagnosis that you don't want. And guess what? Now, Nick, guess what? Now you're in. And all that stuff that you quoted up in the bleachers, guess what? Do you or do you not believe it now? Because guess what? Now you're in. Your turn. Your turn. How am I going to swing for the fence? Put me in, coach. I'm swinging for the fence. And guess what? You live long enough. Guess what, Jen? You get your turn. Sue, live long enough. Guess what, Sue? You get your turn. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we know, that we know, that we know. We have two choices here. We can be afraid of everything or be afraid of nothing. Only of your holiness. So, Lord, we're making that commitment today, Lord. If we're going to fear anything, we're fearing you. Because if we fear you, we don't need to fear anybody or anything. We are going to be courageous. We are going to be brave. We are going to stand for something. We are going to rattle the gates of hell. That's what we're going to do. We may not be the biggest church on the block. We may never, ever get to be, but we are still going to rattle some gates. So, Lord, help us to know what we believe and move it 12 inches into our hearts. Move it into our hearts so we can be the kind of people that are courageous. Be the kind of people that are not feeling hopeless. Be the kind of people, Lord, that we can do all things through you who strengthens us, Lord. Help us to understand that there are things we can do. We can start by being the kind of Christians we're supposed to be. And all of God's people said,